So this nation saw its people go to its knees as the result of a tragic event of 10 years ago to this day. And I remember that Sunday, churches were overflowing, prayer services were being held, people were seeking answers to their questions and seeking peace and comfort. You know, people everywhere were going, turning to their spirituality, they were turning to God, they were turning to prayer. Our lives were rocked. You know, business was not as usual. Everything we thought that was firm and solid was shaken. Everyone was affected by the devastation of September 11th, 2001. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once wrote, he said, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." Isn't that true? How true. Whatever affects one directly affects all of us indirectly. And so we do. We mourn the loss of the lives. We also send love and open our hearts to all of the people who lost a loved one, you know, and trying to make sense out of it all. I think we also mourn our own loss of innocence and our life and how we live it, never to be the same. So what have we learned? Yeah, good question to ask ourselves. 10 years later, what have we learned? A few days after that tragic event, I got an email, and it explained a term, talked about a term that I'd never heard before, but I think it's something we should probably always remember. And it was a term that was, that's Scatana, S-C-A-T-A-N-A. I had never heard this term. Does anybody know what this is? I know Charlie does, but this is an acronym, S-C-A-T-A-N-A, and it's an acronym for Security Control of Air Traffic and Navigation Aids. Security Control of Air Traffic and Navigation Aids. And what this means is that in a national disaster, all civilian aircraft go to the ground. And military, so the military aircraft can go to the air in solid defense. And so that we saw that on September 11th, 2001, didn't we? We saw Scatana happen. We saw all the civilian airlines go to the ground. And for the first time in the history of this country, all the nation's airports were closed. Now, you and I may not have the control to ground aircraft. But at a time of crisis, each one of us is called upon to practice a spiritual skatana. We go to the ground of our being, and we go to God. In fact, our money even tells us, in God we trust. In God we trust. Even in Psalms, we find lots of songs of hope. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though jets should crash and buildings crumble and countless lives are lost. The promise of this psalm goes on to say that God is in the midst of it. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter, but God remains in control. And then the Psalm 46 ends with this beautiful verse that I know you're very familiar with. Be still. This is God talking. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so in a time of crisis, we go to the ground of our being We go to God and we open ourselves to standing on the firmest foundation that we know. And the firmest foundation is prayer. And so we go to God and we stand in prayer. Now there's a wonderful story in the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. Elijah's very delighted with himself because he's just had a huge victory. He's a victory over all the false gods. At that time, there were many gods people were worshiping, many gods, and the prophet Elijah was there to say, no, there's only one God, that our God, the Lord our God is one. And so he seizes all of the false gods and he kills them. And he's delighted with his victory. Well, there's one little problem, however. Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, she worshipped those false gods. And she's not one little bit happy with what Elijah has just done. And so she's after him. And he runs for his life. And he flees, discouraged and disheartened, he flees into the wilderness to seek peace and comfort. And as the story goes, he looks in all the wrong places for God. He looks in the earthquake. He looks in the wind. He looks in the fire. But it's only when he looks within himself and turns within and goes deep within himself that it says, after the fire, a still small voice. After the fire, still small voice. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. And so God is found in the still small voice. God is found in that sound of sheer silence. And so where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for peace and comfort? You know, is it in the silence? Or is it in the news? On TV, in the busyness of the world, the outer material world out there. Now, where are you looking for God? You know, when your life is rocked to its core, where do you go? Do you go into fear? Where the world is really good at creating fear, isn't it? Just look around you. Look around us. All the scared people. And so when your life is really rocked to its core, do you go into fear or do you go to the ground of your being? We're spiritual beings having a human experience, but boy, do we get caught up in this human experience. You know, when our soul is calling to us and calling us into a higher spiritual experience. You know, our soul is drawing us into an experience of God. And that's why we feel drawn to come to church. That's why we feel called to join a spiritual connection group and go into a community, a small group community of people, like-minded people, wanting the same experience. And it's why we're drawn to light candles. And it's why we seek to have an experience of the divine, to help make sense out of all this stuff that our mind just can't wrap itself around. Now, last week I talked about the phenomenon that when a group of people get together with a common bond for a specific purpose, out of that bond emerges a group soul. And that's why in groups like this, when we come together, spiritual communities gather, when prayer groups get together, when spiritual connection groups meet, there's a group soul that's created, a consciousness to which everyone gives and each person receives. And it's in that group collective consciousness that we find the answers to our needs, that we find peace and comfort. But I find it very interesting that here we're seeking to find more and discover more about our spiritual nature. And yet there's a part of us, actually, we and our society are addicted to violence and drama. Have you noticed that? You just turn on TV and you can see it. You know, we support it. We support violence by paying money to see violent movies and to pay to watch violence on TV. I don't know if you've watched the kids' cartoons lately, but they are violent, and we laugh at them. You know, and our teens, I don't know if you've seen ads for the video games they're playing. I mean, they're depictions of violence. We're feeding our minds all the time with violence, pictures of violence, and is there any wonder that there's so much violence in our world? It's our third basic principle in unity. What we focus on, what happens? We get more of. And so there's a part of me that believes that, you know, we have, with all this violence, we have numbed ourselves so much that it takes a huge, big crisis to feel anything or to get our attention. And so we need to step into a better way of dealing with the crises that happen, and they will continue to happen. It's life. This interesting story that I want to share with you. A grandson told of his anger at a schoolmate who had done him an injustice. And grandfather, who was a Native American, he said, "Let me tell you a story. I, too, have felt a great hate for those who have taken so much, with no sorrow for what they do. But hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It is like taking poison and wishing your enemy would die. I have struggled with these feelings many times. It is as if there are two wolves inside of me. One is good, and it does no harm. He lives in harmony with all around him and does not take offense when no offense is intended. He will fight only when it's right to do so and in the right way. But the other wolf is full of anger. The littlest thing will set him off into a fit of temper. He fights with everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think because his anger and hate are so great. It's hard to live with these two wolves inside of me, for they try to dominate my spirit." The boy looked intently into his grandfather's eyes and asked, "Which one wins, grandfather?" And the grandfather solemnly replied, "The one I feed." The one I feed. So what are you feeding? You know, as an individual, as a nation, as a country, I think we're getting lots of wake-up calls and big ones. And we're like the prodigal son who, I think, has spent way too much time in separation from God and in separation from each other. But the good news is we're waking up. I love that song Charlie sang. You know, I'm awakening. We're awakening. You know, and the process is starting that, you know, beginning that journey back home to what really, truly counts. And I believe it's time to slow down, to take more time with friends and family, to find ways to make a difference in the world. You know, to take time to get serious about our relationship with God, to focus on our spirituality and to find meaning and purpose in our lives. You know, I think we need to take serious time to really develop an inner prayer life. And you'll have an opportunity to do that this fall. In just 2 weeks now, we're going to be starting our fall program on September 25th. And it's an 8-week journey that we'll have together called Thriving More Than Thriving, Not Just Surviving. Really thriving and not just surviving. You'll have an opportunity to go into small groups of 8 people, 10, 12 people, and really delve into what's important in your life. And so I encourage you to get signed up for those groups. We've got about 3 groups that are already closed because they are limited in size, depending on how many people can get in a home. And so you can go online to our unityofbellevue.org website, and there's a whole, you can click on register for a group, and the list comes up, and you can see maps of where they all are and see who's already registered, who's facilitating, who's hosting. But sign up for a group. If you don't have a computer, you don't have access to a computer, you're not computer savvy, Richard Morris is going to be here after the service in the atrium. Go to him and he'll get you signed up. for a group. We have a couple here at the church as well, but we'll also be taking time to support each other in prayer. You know, and taking the time to connect to God in prayer is one of the most important things that we can do. Because what it makes us realize is that we are more than just these bodies. We are spirit, as Charlie had us sing in our meditation song. We are spirit. I am spirit. I'm spirit. And we can move beyond that and know that there's strength that comes from discovering that part of us. And when we go to the ground of our being, we will know in a very deeper way that the spirit we are is eternal. The spirit we are is absolutely eternal. Jesus had a wonderful explanation of prayer, how instructions for prayer. Have you ever wondered, how do you pray? Well, Jesus very clearly, it was the preamble to the Lord's Prayer. He said, go into your inner closet, close the door, and shut out the noise and the craziness of the outer world, and connect with God. And in that secret place, when you connect with God, you will there in that place find peace and comfort, and you will know your oneness with God. It's not done in the busyness out there of your life, and it's not done in the noisy world that surrounds us, but it's done in the peace and quiet, as Psalm 46 tells us, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And so Jesus knew how to work with prayer. And every miracle, if you read, it is preceded by prayer. Jesus goes off in the quiet. He goes up to the mountain. He tells his disciples, you go on to the next town. I'll catch up with you. And then when he appears again, a miracle happens. So Jesus would go and connect in the silence. He would get centered in that divine flow. And then he'd come out of that experience so at one with God that what resulted was what we called miracles. And I love this story. And Jesus many times was in a boat with his disciples, but this one I loved. He was asleep. Jesus is sound asleep in a boat, and the wind kicks up. A storm comes in. The waves are lapping at the boat. The boat's tossed and turned. The Christ, I think it's very interesting, is asleep. It's asleep to the chaos of the outer world. Let's look at this story metaphysically, beyond just the literal words. But the Christ here is asleep to the chaos and the storms of life around us. And the disciples are going crazy. They're going bonkers. They're going, oh my God, we're going to sink. We're going to die. We're going down. They wake up Jesus and they say, don't you care? And the Christ says to the wind, cool it. Just calm down. Says to the sea, peace, be still. Just settle down. And that's what we can do. In the storms that are raging around us, you know, in the chaos of the world that's going on around us, we can go to the ground of our being. And when we go to the ground of our being, the Christ of our being affirms, peace be still. Peace be still. Let that be our prayer today and every day. Peace in the midst of chaos, whatever's going on in the world and in our lives. Peace. Let's go to the ground of our being. Let's go to God in prayer. And then watch as the world around us changes. Not because it's different, but because our thoughts about it have changed. Prayer is the most important thing we can do. It's the firm foundation to stand on. So I'd like to end today with this wonderful little poem. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't take time to pray. Troubles just tumbled around me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. God answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys of the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty the day, but the day toiled on bleak and gray. I called on the Lord for the reasons. God said, you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. And so in this world that we live in the lives, the busyness of the lives around us, I want to encourage you to go to God in prayer. And always, always, when there's any chaos or disaster or crisis, go to the ground of your being. God bless you.